So this week we begin the last book of the Torah, the book of Deuteronomy, Mishneh Torah as it's called in Hebrew. And it begins, Ela hadvorim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael. These are the words that Moshe spoke to all the Yidden. Now, we were learning previously, wherever the Torah says Eile, it's different from when the Torah says Ve'eile. Ve'eile means and these, which is obviously a continuation, like the book of Exodus begins Ve'eile Shemois, and these are the names of the Jewish people who came down to Egypt with Yaakov. And the book of Leviticus begins Vayikra, and he called, and the book of Numbers begins Vayidaber, and he spoke. The book of Deuteronomy begins Eile, and Eile, the Chachamim say, Eile posal es harishonim. Whenever you have these, it means these, and not what went prior to this. And the first time we encounter that is in the second chapter of Genesis, where it says Eile tol the shemayim v'oretz. These are the chronicles of heaven and earth, and we were talking about how Eile, these posal es harishonim, disqualifies whatever came earlier. So why does the book of Deuteronomy disqualify everything that came before it? So it begins with this interesting set of allusions. So these are the words that Moshe spoke to all the Yidden, Be'eva HaYarden, and the Transjordan, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, Ba'arava, on the plain, Mol Suf, opposite Suf, Bein Paron u Bein Teufel v'Lovan, between Paron and Teufel and Lovan, v'Chatzeroiz, these are names of places that don't appear. They're not really places, or else they're places where they're not by the Red Sea anymore, and they're not in the wilderness, they're in Arvois Moav, they're on the plains of Moav, standing by the Yad and Yerecha, ready to cross the Jordan into the area around Jericho. So Rashi brings the Midrashim that they say Moshe is really trying to hint to the Jewish people about all the things that they've done wrong. So when it says he's talking in the Midbar, in the wilderness, he's really talking, he's referring obliquely to what they did in the wilderness when they said, "Oi, we wish we were back in Egypt. Al Sira Bosa, you know, we were in the flesh pots of Egypt, and we could eat whatever we wanted, and there were none of these restrictions, and there was all that stuff, you know, watermelons and cucumbers, and yeah." Ba'arava, when it talks about on the plain, it's referring to in their plains of Shittim, where they had the whole to do with the daughters of Midian and Baal Peor and Zimri and that whole stuff, that story that we ended up with Pinchas. Mul Suf, opposite Suf, goes back even further to when we came out of Egypt and we started to complain to Moshe, "What, you don't have enough graves in Egypt? You had to bring us out here to kill us by the Red Sea." Bein Paran Bein Teufel, between Paran and Teufel, V'Lavan is referring to when you were complaining about the man, and you were saying, "Oh, we're sick of this man, this manna, you know, this white food that you know, it's clogging us up on the inside." And Chatzeros is referring to Korach and his congregation, and then the Meraglim and the talking Lashon Hara. And then Dizahav, finally, Dizahav is not the name, it's not referring to a place, but plenty money. They have too much gold, and we know what happens when you got too much gold. We made the gold calf. So Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioning all these places, even though it says Moshe spoke to the Jewish people in Transjordan, in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Suf, between Paran, between Teufel, that's not really where they were. It's just Moshe's way of telling us remember when you did this, and remember when you did that, and remember what you were like at that time, and, you know, clean up your act. And then he goes on to tell us that it was 11 days from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, and look what happened, you ended up spending 40 years on the journey. And then the Torah goes on to say it was after the war with Sihon, the king of Amorites, and who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of the Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth and Edrei, Transjordan, in the land of Moab, Moshe begins to explain the Torah. And of course, what we get is the book of Deuteronomy, which is a recap and a re-explanation of all the laws that have been given. And he begins by saying, Hashem Elokeinu Dibra Eleinu B'Chorev Lemo. God spoke to us at Sinai, saying, Rav Lachem Sheves Baraz, you've sat here long enough. Penu Sulachem, turn around, get up, go and come to the Mount of the Amorite, and there you're going to go into the land and so forth, and I'm going to give you this inheritance that I promised to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And I, Moshe says, and I, at that time, I said to you, I can't carry you on my own. God has made you big, many, like the stars in the sky. How can I carry you? How can I carry all your business and all your squabbling and all your arguing? Bring me men who are chachamim, wise, and nevoinim, clever and understanding, vidum l'shivtechem, well known, and I'll put them at the head. And you said to me, Vatano isu vatoimrin, and you said to me, Toiv hadova asher dibartu l'asos. It's good. It's a good idea. So then Moshe says, so I took these men, the heads of your tribes, who were chachamim, they were wise, viduim, and they were well known. The Gemara says, but they had no understanding. You know, originally Moshe had said to them, bring men who are chachamim, nevoinim, they should have bina, viduim, and they should be well known. But when actually what happened, Moshe says, after you said, good idea, I took men who were heads of your tribes, they were chachamim, and they were well known. The Gemara says there was no nevoinim. Moshe couldn't find any people with bina. The Ishbitzer says Moshe was trying to hint to the Yidden, please pray for me. I want to go into the land. But my role is finished. So please appoint men who are wise, who have chachma, who have bina, understanding, who are well known, and maybe if you have understanding, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, you'll get at what I'm saying. But we didn't, you know, and I think one of the great tragedies of the Torah is that Moshe prayed for us so many times, and when Moshe's about to die, nobody says, oh, Moshe, don't leave us. It's like, we waited for him to die, and then we mourned, and then we moved on, and we didn't say, God, you know, how could you take Moshe away from us? Everybody knows that had Moshe come into the land with us, and Moshe had built the Beis HaMikdash with us, it would never have been destroyed. And had Moshe gone into the land with us, we would never have been expelled and exiled. Moshe so much wanted to go into the land, he was never there. And he wasn't allowed. Not in his lifetime and not in his death, you know. And even Yosef was allowed back dead, and Yaakov was allowed back dead, Moshe Rabbeinu not. And he really begged of us obliquely that we should intercede for him, you know, just express what it is that we wanted, you know, please. But it's like a master of the universe, that you can figure out a way of letting Moshe into the land, you know. But we didn't get the hint. It's very sad. You know, Moshe doesn't complain, but he does tell us, you know, you didn't understand. So what is happening here? You know, this story isn't quite correct the way Moshe says. You know, God said, turn, go, you've sat here at Sinai long enough, time to go into the land, and I could no longer carry you because you were so heavy and so many, and I told you to appoint people, men, heads for the tribes, and they would be teachers and they would be judges and so forth. That's not really what happened, you know. If you go back to the book of Exodus, there we had Moshe's father-in-law arrived. And the Torah tells us, Vayhimi Mocharas, it was the day after. And Yisroel sees Moshe sitting there as the sole arbiter and judge and jury and decider. And he says, Novel Tibor, you're going to get worn out and listen to me. Yotzcha, I'm going to give you a good piece of good advice. Why don't you appoint judiciary? You should have officers in charge of tens and fifties and then hundreds and thousands. And if somebody has a problem, they'll bring it to their rov, who'll go to his magistrate. If he doesn't understand, he'll take it to the judge, who'll go to the court, who'll take it to the Supreme Court if necessary. They don't know anything. Ultimately, they'll bring it to you. But like this, you don't have to judge. You don't have to be involved with each case, and you don't have to decide, and you don't have to. That's how it was in Parshas Yisroel. Here, Moshe's got a different version. What's going on? So, the Nois Desha, the son of the Ishbitzim, he says like this. Normally, when we read this parasha with Rashi's interpretation of what's going on here, it comes over as a rebuke. Moshe Rabbeinu is rebuking the Jewish people. Okay, he's doing it obliquely so as not to shame them with all their mistakes and shortcomings and so. But you know, Ishbitz always has a different way of reading. He doesn't see it as a rebuke. The Ishbitz says, why does Moshe, when he's hinting at all the errors that we made, he uses place names? Why didn't he use time names, you know? And it was the springtime, and it was the summer, and it was high summer, and it was the autumn and the winter. And we would have made the same drush. Oh, the springtime was when we were coming out of Egypt. That's when we said, why are you killing us? And then, you know, his symbols that he uses are places. And then the last one, which was Dizohav, which was the Egel, too much gold. How come that's not a place name? He says, it's not really a rebuke. Moshe is really saying, the place that you're in has a very powerful influence on who you are and what you do. Regardless of the time, regardless of your own status, where you are in your life, the place that you're in has tremendous power, you know. And it's no use saying, why aren't we like our Zaydas back in Poland and in Lithuania and these places? Why aren't we behaving like them? Part of the reason they were behaving like they were behaving is because they were in Poland and Lithuania. And we're here in America. And a lot of our behaviors are forced by the place that we are. And so Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I know why you were like you were. There you were like, because you were that place, that was the spirit of that place. And God led you there because Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem Yisou, we traveled, we journeyed at the instructions of God, and we camped. So wherever it was we camped, it was where God wanted us to camp. And because God wanted us to deal with the ghost or the genius of that particular place, and to fall to where we fell, because those were the journeys that we needed to do. The Noiz Desha goes a step further, and he says, Moshe is saying, because the Noiz Desha asks, if we're looking at these series of places that Moshe talks about in the Midbar, the wilderness, that's where we were complaining about, oh, we miss Egypt and the great food that we had there and the flesh pots. We actually use that word, flesh pots, where it comes from, Sirah Bosa. Bo'arova refers to that place called Shittim, where we sinned with the women of Midian, and eventually, you know, Zimri and Cosby do their flagranto delicto business and Pinchas. And then we've got these other ones. So the Noiz Desha says, Moshe is saying, if you really want to deal with your life, if you want to cope with life, first of all, you have to deal with these two things, your eating and your sex. If these are out of control, then you're out of control. So Bamidbar, the first thing Moshe says is, talking about Bamidbar, is the Sira Bosa. We remember Egypt and the cucumbers and the watermelons, and we start, you know, we're getting this euphoric recall about Egypt and how terrible, and we've only got the man, of course, and how terrible things are, and how much pleasure we could have had out of eating then, you know, all the chocolate that there was in there. And Bo'arovo is the sexual license that we took in Shittim. And so the Noiz Desha says, Moshe is saying, first of all, never mind all the other stuff. First of all, these are the two that you need to look at. Once you've looked at these two, you will find all the other ones will either follow or they'll fall into place. Right? Because what comes after that? The rebellion at the sea, when we were saying, you know, oi, didn't you have enough graves in Egypt that you come to bury us here? And the whole lack of faith that we had at that moment, and then, you know, the Lashon Hara that we spoke against the land, and the arguing that we did, the rebellion of Korach, all these things will follow or not, depending on whether you have these two things under control, your eating and your sexuality. If you don't have those under control, all the other stuff is going to come cropping up. And those two things, the Ishbitzer says, those two things came up because God wanted it to come up for us. Because we weren't going to learn this lesson unless we had been to that place. Because in Adam Oymed Al Divrei Torah Elohim Kein Nichshal Bohem, a person can never really understand what the Torah is talking about till he falls flat on his face and stumbles and drops into whatever, you know, hole there is in the ground, and climbs out and then says, oh, now I know what that mistake is, I'm not going to make that again. Those are the two big ones, Bamidbar Bo'arovo, food and sex. Then the Ishbitzer says, V'di Zohav, the last one, you know, Moshe said to God, really, how can you blame the Yidden for making an egel? You know, God, you gave them so much gold. Who asked you to give them so much gold? In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, look, if you take this young boy, this 15-year-old boy, and you shave him, and you wash him, and you smother him in perfume, and put him on a silk suit, and you hang this little, you know, wallet with credit cards and dollars around his neck, and you sit him outside a brothel, what do you really think is going to happen? It's fairly predictable, right? So Moshe says to God, that's really what you did with these Jewish people, you know? You filled them full of gold and silver and all this kind of stuff, and then, you know, you dolled them up and you fed them and you took care of them, and then I wasn't there. Well, you know, it was obvious they were going to do something stupid. In fact, V'di Zohav is blaming God for, in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu is attributing our behavior to the places where we were and saying, look, you know, it's easy to judge the Yidden and say, why did they do this? Why did they do that? But had we been there in that place and felt and been part of that environment and you know, and had to deal with the pressure of the spirit of the place, then we would also have done what they did. And we can't really know, you know, we say don't judge a person till you've walked a mile in his shoes. What Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, don't judge a person till you've actually been that place where he is. Ad shetagia limkoimoy. Not the spiritual place where he is, but the physical place. So a person's environment is, you know, really, really a powerful trigger to all the things that he's going to do. So we have a medrash, not even so much a medrash. The pasuk says that when we were coming out of Egypt, the clouds of glory came between us and the Egyptians, and though the Egyptians had these catapults and they were throwing these huge boulders and stuff, the Onon, this cloud that was between us and the Egyptians, it absorbed all these arrows and spears and stones and missiles. The Hebrew, the Medrash used balistrot, ballistic missiles. The Ishbitzer reads it as God. God absorbs the slings and arrows of outrageous assault. At that time, when it was clear to our enemies that we were going to be saved in heaven, all the accusers, all the enemies of the Jewish people came to God and said, Halolo oivde avoydezora, Halolo oivde avoydezora. These are idol worshippers, these Egyptians, these Jews, they're also idol worshippers, a bunch of pagans. Why are you judging differently these and these? So the Ishbitzer says those are the arrows and slings and you know, the missiles that the Egyptians are throwing, that the Onon, the cloud, is absorbing. It's not physical arrows and stuff. That's no Groysa Chochmah. But God is saying, well, blame me. Blame me. Blame me for the fact that the Jews are pagans. Blame me. I took them, I pushed them down to Egypt. They were fine at home with Yaakov. Had they stayed back in the land of Canaan and grown up in this Hebron Be'er-Sheva where they were staying, they would never have ended up in Egypt and become pagans. Blame me. So the Onan, the cloud absorbing these stones and arrows, this is God absorbing the blame for, you know, the justification. And the Ishbitzer says, and that's the meaning of, you know, Heviu kapora lai shemiatati esareach, bring this sin offering for me that I made the moon small. You know, we talk about on Rish Chodesh, that on Rish Chodesh there's a sin offering which says chatas Lashem, a sin offering for God, and the Gemara in Chulin says that God's saying bring an atonement for me that I diminished the moon, and that is a metaphor for all the diminution of the capacities of the Jewish people, and that all the sins of the Jewish people, God says, Loma harayosi, why did I do bad to them? Why did I, the shepherd, I'm the roya, I'm the shepherd. If the sheep go wrong, if the sheep go astray, you can't blame the sheep, you blame the shepherd. So God says, so blame me. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying here that if only we will take charge of the, you know, the food and the sex, like if we will start to pay attention to what we are doing, then everything else will fall into place, and then finally it will be dissolved. It will be that Moshe Rabbeinu will say to God, Nu, why did you give them so much gold? And God will say, yeah, you're right. So We learn in the Tikkun Zohar, the Medrash begins this week, the Torah Eila Advorim. The Medrash says, why are we allowed to write the Torah in all languages? The Medrash answers, yes, we're allowed to write the Torah in all languages because the Torah is Mar Pelosh and the Torah can heal the language. How do we see that in the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu used to say, "Lo yesh dvorim anochi," I'm not a man of words. And now, Moshe is saying, "Ela hadvorim," these are the words, right? So obviously, Moshe has healed his language, and so you can write the Torah in any language because the Torah is greater than language. The Torah can actually fix language, and if somebody can't speak, the Torah can make him speak. So the Nois Leish says, how come this Medrash is here in Deuteronomy? What, Moshe didn't speak till now? Or you had to wait until now to do this drash? There's plenty of times when it says Moshe spoke. So it obviously has to do with the fact that Moshe speaking here is different. So he says, there are two Torahs. There's the Torah of the heart, and there's the Torah of the mouth. The Torah of the heart is the Torah Shebichtav. It's the written Torah. The Torah of the mouth is the Torah Shebaal Peh. The first part of the Torah, the first four books of the Torah, that's really the Torah Shebichtav. It's the written Torah. In the Torah Shebichtav, it says, Zocher Esiyem HaShabbos Likatcha, remember. Remember the Shabbos to keep it holy. The Torah, this Torah is different from this Torah which we have now in the Sefer Devarim in Deuteronomy. This in Deuteronomy it says Shomer. And the difference between Zohar and Shomer, to remember and to guard, Zohar is in the past, memory is in the past, and that's masculine. Guard is in the future, to anticipate, and that is feminine. And these two Torahs are different. The masculine is the Torah Shebichtav, and the feminine is the Torah Shebaal Peh. And what Moshe is giving us here is completely different Torah. Because the original Luchos, the original tablets of stone that we were given, they got broken. They got broken because of, you know, we worship the golden calf and so forth, and so everything in this Torah is broken. But the Torah doesn't tell us how to heal until we get to this Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, the Torah which is given by mouth. And this contains within it the healing. This is the healing from everything that went earlier. There's a Medrash. Vayifen Vayered Moshe. So after Moshe has begged for forgiveness 40 days on behalf of the Jewish people, after we worship the golden calf, Kiven Shepono Chatei Shelhem, after Moshe realizes that he's cleansed the Jewish people through his prayer, Omar Moshe, so he says, Hari Hoi Lisro Mishyevaki Shelhem, the Yidden had somebody who could pray for them. Ani, Mi Yevakesh Alai, who's going to pray for me? I broke those Ten Commandments. You know, the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments is that you're not allowed to take God's name in vain, which, you know, we pask in there. You're not allowed to take the name of God and tear it or erase it or break it or something. Moshe, you know, he took the Luchos and he smashed them. So, at the time, you know, he had a good justification. He said, I don't want to be a guilt when the Jews are guilty. I'm a Jew, so I'm gonna be guilty together with them of, you know, laissez majeste or sacrilege, whatever you want to call it. So now he's begged for forgiveness for the Jewish people, and now he's in pain because God has said Salachti, and Moshe says, now who's gonna daven for me? Hischil mitzta'er al shivur aluchis. The Medrash says that he started to cry over the fact that he'd broken the tablets. Omaloya Kodesh Baruch Hu. So God says to him, Al titzta'er beluchos rishonis. Forget about the first luchos. Forget about those first tablets. Shloihoyu elo aseres hadibris bilvad. They only had 10 commandments. Ubeluchos hashniim, in these two, the second ones that I'm going to give you, ani noisen lach sheyeh bem hilchos medrash v'agodos. So there's going to be medrash, sifro, sifri, the medrash halacha, the medrash agoda, and that's going to be the healing for everything. So forget about the first luchos. This medrash is telling us something really important. Kiflayim l'soshia, that there's going to be like a double healing. That there's something about this second luchos, the second Mishnah Torah, the repetition of the Torah, because next week in Vo'es Chanon we come to the second of the Ten Commandments, and there it says Shomer is Yom HaShabbos, not Zohar. It's a whole new way of keeping Shabbos, a whole new way of keeping the Torah, and that's going to be given to Yehoshua. This book, the Mishnah Torah, Deuteronomy, the repetition of the Torah, this is a book that's going to be given to Yehoshua. As we find a Medrash, the Medrash says, Omer Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Sefer Mishnah Torah, the book of Deuteronomy, Hoye Signon Li Yehoshua. This was like a special gift of Yehoshua, Moshe gave to Joshua. B'sho Sheniglo Olav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when God appears to Joshua, the war that he's having in the land, and it was he needed the sun to stand still. It says, Matzi Yoshev, V'sefer Mishnah Torah B'yodah. He found Joshua sitting there crying with this book that Moshe had given him, this book of Deuteronomy, in his hand. So he says to him, Chazak Yehoshua, Amatz Yehoshua, be strong, be bold. L'yomush Sefer HaTorah Hazeh, let this Sefer HaTorah, let this book of the Torah never leave your hands. And of course, what does Joshua do? He makes the sun and the moon stand still with this book that Moshe has given him. So we're starting to get a picture of the Mishnah Torah, of the book of Deuteronomy, as not simply a continuation of the Chamisha Chimsha Torah, of the five books of Moses. But these are completely new. And that's why the Torah begins, Eile Hadvarim, these are the words, Eile Posal Esarishonim, this disqualifies whatever came till here, because whatever came till here was part of the Luchos Rishonos, those first tablets, which they are the heart, but they're not the mouth. What does it mean that they're the heart and not the mouth? The Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, you know, in that Medrash, the original Medrash that we quoted, the Medrash says, Ma l'adam lichtev Torah b'chaloshin, is a person allowed to write the Torah in every language? And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, and only in Hebrew and in Greek, because Greek is a special language. Yaftel kim yefes v'yishkem b'ol Hashem, that Noach blessed his son Yefes, that he would have all this beautiful language, and that he would be connected to his brother Shem. And so the Torah, we are Semites, we come from Shem, and Yefes has this connection, so we're allowed to write it in Greek. Ishbitzer says that the Medrash says God saw, Medrash Tanchumo, and God saw that the Goyim are going to translate the Bible into Greek, and then they're going to argue with us, and they're going to say we are the real Israelites, like the Christians do, right? We are the real God worshippers, and we are the real descendants of Moses, and we are the, you know, all those arguments that they put forward. But really, the Torah that they have there, that's the Torah Shebichtav. The Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, that they don't have, because that's the fixing of all that. As we said earlier, God comes and stands in between the Egyptians who are throwing their missiles and arrows and spears, and he absorbs it, right? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Because it's a revelation of the Atika Kadisha, that there's something higher. There's something higher than the Din V'Cheshbon. The Radzina says, all our sins started when we passed through the Red Sea. 3 days later, what did we say? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im ayin. Is God inside us or not? This question, this is the question that leads to every mistake we've ever made. How do we read that? I mean, simply on the surface, we can read, is God inside me or not? Right? And as Alan has pointed out, it's become part of the way we understand the Torah, that whenever I think of God as the other outside me, then we're already not, you know, we're not there anymore. We're talking pagan language, right? So, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im oyin, is God inside me or not? You know, that's a pagan question. However, the Radzina says, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu, is the yud ke vav ke inside me? Im oyin, or is there something higher? The ayin, the no thing. We talked about chokhmah being yesh me'ayin. At the level of, there's a yud ke vav ke, which, you know, is inside the inside of the chokhmah, the inside of the chesed gvura tiferes netzach hod yisoid paradigm, is yud ke vav ke tiferes. But there's the God who is ein, which is at the level of chokhmah, at the level of atika kadisha, at the level of the Holy Ancient One, where Yisroel Ola B'machashova, which is before the creation of the world, which is before God expressing Himself. It's where Israel arose in the thought. So the Yidden, we want to know, Hayesh Hashem B'kirbenu, we know that Yud Kei Vav Kei is inside us, but we also want to know Im Oyin, if we are always connected to the Atika Kadisha, because if we're at that level of being connected to Atika Kadisha, then God says, Ma titzaki elai, why are you crying to me, you know? Dabra el b'nei Yisroel v'Yisol, we said last week, when we were by the Red Sea, and we see the Egyptians coming at us, and behind us the sea, and on the sides the wilderness, and we cry to Moshe, and Moshe cries to God, and God says, Ma titzaki elai, why are you crying to me? What do you mean? I'm a Yid, what else should I do? I'm in trouble, I daven. So the Zohar Kodesh says, Ma titzaki elai ba tiko talia milsa, at this point, history is on a fulcrum of Yisroel Ola B'machshava, the Jews who arose in the original thought of the creation of the world. There's no way that they could be destroyed at this moment. It would mean there's no world. God's purpose is that the Eden should be in the world, so they're not really in trouble. Just tell them, turn around, start walking. The thing is, if I go through life feeling that I don't have to give din v'cheshbon, I don't have to answer to any authority, because I am part of that Yisroel Ola B'machshava, the Israel that arose in the original thought, and what could I do wrong, you know? Then God says, I'm not going to walk with you, I'm going to turn my back. If I walk through my life and I say, Hayesh Hashem b'kibenu, the Yud Kei Vav Kei is inside me, I need to like really be careful what I'm doing, what I'm looking at, what I'm talking about, what I'm eating, what I'm seeing, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then I am one with you. See, if I rely on the fact that I'm Yisrael and Ola B'machshava, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns back. He says, not going to give it you. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying here. If you can take control of your eating and your sexuality, then you'll see it as it will unfold, it will be the Dizahov. So Moshe, he has this book in his hand, and he's giving it to us. And he says, when my father-in-law told me, this is no good the way you're doing things, Novo Tiboil, why don't you appoint this judiciary and this, have this pyramid system? You'll sit on that. Moshe hated this idea. He thought it was a terrible idea. But Yisrei, his father-in-law, said, Hamlech Bigvuro, go ask God. We don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu asked God about this advice that Yisrei had given him. You know what? He asked us. That's how he asked God. He asked us. Va'ayma aleichem ba'esahi. And I said to you at that time, La yuchal levadi seisim, I can't carry you on my own. And you said, Toif adava, good. And Moshe knew that we were, at that point, the prophecy. We were speaking the mouth of God. We were confirming that Yisrael, Moshe's father-in-law, was talking not from his own mind. And that's why the Ishbitza says in Parshas Yisrael, it says, Vayishma Moshe lekoil choisnoi, Moshe listened to the voice of his father-in-law, Vayask choil ashe omor, and he did all, like, everything that he had said. And the omor has got two kumitzes, not omar, but omor. And the Ishbitza says, because kumitz refers to constriction, that not even Yisrael knew what he was talking about. He was talking so deep. His idea was coming from such a deep place that he himself didn't realize. But Moshe hated the idea. Why did Moshe hate the idea? Because Moshe wanted to be our Rebbe. But you see, as like the Ishbitza says, when God says, Pnu Sulechem, turn around, you've said enough at Mount Sinai, start walking. At that moment, Moshe says, I could no longer carry you. The Ishbitza says, why? What's the connection between God telling us to start walking away from Sinai and Moshe no longer being able to carry us? Because as soon as we walked away from Sinai, Moshe needed to die. Because if we're going into the land, that's not Moshe's job. Moshe has to die. Ein melucha negas b'chavata. You can't have two. You know, it's long. The king is dead. Long live the king. As soon as the king is dead, there's a new king. He may not even know that his previous king has died, but he's already the new king. But ein malchus negas b'chavata. But the kingdom of one didn't touch the other. The crown, so to speak, moved from one to the other. With the death of one, the other started. You can't have, they can't be alive at the same time. This, if the king is still alive, he's still the king. So Moshe cannot be the king while Yehoshua is the king. As soon as God says, okay, it's time to leave Mount Sinai and go into the land, Moshe says, he runs out of koyach. He's got no koyach. So Yisroi doesn't realize. But what he is doing is that he's putting a level of medium between Moshe and us by suggesting that we have the judiciary between Moshe and the Jewish people. From now on, who do we learn from? We're not learning from Moshe. We're learning from, we go to this Rebbe. You go to Minyan in the morning, the Rebbe gives us shir. Where does he get it from? He gets it from somebody else. So What Yisrael doesn't realize is that by instituting the level that comes between Moshe and us, this level of teachers, this whole educational system, Moshe can live another 40 years because he's not really teaching us anymore. What we're getting is the Torah Shebaal Peh. We're getting it not from the source, which is Moshe, which is the Torah Shebichtav, but we're getting it from our teacher, from our magistrates, getting from the judges, getting it from the high court, right? So there's already this whole level of transmission, which it says, Moshe kibul Torah misinai, umasrua li Yehoshua. He gives it over, Moshe receives it from Sinai, gives it over to Yehoshua, and that's really what's happening throughout the 40 years in the wilderness. We wouldn't have had 40 years with Moshe Rabbeinu if not for this idea that Yisroi, that Moshe's father-in-law, had come up with. And it was a pure genius. And that's why when Shaul is commanded to make war with Amalek, he tells Yisroi's descendants, He says, you did this great favor with us. What was the great favor? Because if Yisro hadn't given us that idea to change the way we learn Torah from Moshe, then we wouldn't have had 40 years with Moshe. And Ein Odom Oimid al Das Rabbi ad Arboim Shoni. You don't really get what your Rebbe is trying to teach you until you've been learning with him for 40 years. So there's a Torah Shebichtav and a Torah Shebalpeh. The Torah that we're getting from Moshe is the Torah Shebichtav, which means each one of us has inside us the Torah Shebichtav, because Moshe is Pashtusa de Moshe b'chol dora v'dora. But you know, in order to heal, you have to have the Torah Shebalpeh, the Torah of Yahushua. And that's why Ela HaDvorim, these are the words which passels, which disqualifies the previous. And now we come to this new Torah. And bless you and me that we should have all the healing that we need. And that we should find it in the Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebalpeh together. And it should be a unification of Puma V'Liba, the mouth and the heart.